What's going on, sexy lovers? Welcome back to the Sex Mechanic Podcast. I, of course, am your host, the Sex Mechanic, a.k.a. Jensen Benoit, a.k.a. Mr. Born to Explore, a.k.a. Confident Creator, a.k.a. I Did It My Way, a.k.a. The Exception. And you are now tuned in to the Sex Mechanic Podcast. Welcome. 2 weeks in a row now I'm on IG Live doing the Sex Mechanic Podcast because I'm trying to test this out and see if I can do it this way versus the YouTube Live way. And see if that actually works out. So y'all let me know if that's working for you or not. What's going on, High Life Zooted? What's going on, Don Nguyen, 240Z? Welcome to the podcast. Today, we are talking about something I think is kind of interesting. So I was watching the 85 South show, and they made a comment on there saying that basically, like, your best sex partner doesn't usually end up being your partner. You know what I'm saying? So, like, your best lover, the person that you've had the best sexual experience or experiences with, does not end up being the person that you end up with. Y'all tell me if y'all found that to be true or if you feel like that's not necessarily true. High Life Zuda said true. In my experience, I gotta agree that that's usually how it turns out. And that's not to say that the person you're with can't end up being one of your best or your best lover. But we're talking about like a person. Oh, I know who it is. What's up? Welcome to the podcast, man. I'm happy to see you here. I never get to see you on here. So, hey, welcome. I appreciate you joining. What was I gonna say? So, yeah, my experiences have been pretty similar. I agree with you. Like, typically, you know what I'm saying? Like, the people I end up with, they're really good. And, you know, we build a better relationship, you know, sexually. But that's over time. And that's, like, through, you know, learning each other and what each other likes. But that person that you end up just having, like, this instant sexual chemistry with, that typically is not who you end up with. Why that is, I'm not totally sure. It's probably because that's probably like the best part of the relationship with you and that person is the sexual connection. And if that's the best part of the relationship, then chances are, you know, that's not somebody you're going to end up with because you need more than that to get you through an actual relationship. You know, like you need more than just sexual satisfaction from a person, I would assume. Or that's not going to be a very long lasting situation usually. But, yeah, I want to hear if some other people feel the same way, too, because I feel like that's, you know. So let me read this comment by High Life Zooted. Ratchet says, but a stranger who is built on just nasty chemistry gives off a different vibe or a different type of adrenaline. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It does give off a different type of adrenaline. But I think that type of adrenaline is kind of like short term almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, is good for the moment, but then after that moment is over, it's kind of like, what else besides that? I don't know if you agree, but I feel like after the sex is over, after, you know, you've had an awesome time, you've had an amazing time with this person, it's kind of like, all right, that was cool, but now we don't necessarily have anything else that we, you know, match with or vibe over. So it's kind of like, until the next experience, we could pretty much go our separate ways. But being with somebody, obviously, you know, you gotta have a little bit more than that. You gotta have a strong foundation. You gotta have some other things that you guys have not only in common, but also that you can enjoy each other with, because most of the time you're not gonna be fucking. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of the time when you're in a relationship with somebody, you're not having sex with the person. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of other in-between things that y'all need to be doing, and you might want to make sure that you actually enjoy that person's company to some degree, you know what I'm saying, if you're going to be with somebody. So High Life Zooted said also, but that's why I say it's just sex. It's an amazing sex, but not love, and will not be your partner for life. Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. There's probably like a, you know, maybe one or two people out there. I feel like, too, it depends on when you meet the person, right? Because there's people that settle down early in life. You know, maybe they met somebody in high school or in college or something like that, and then that ends up being the person that they, you know, marry and spend the rest of their lives with. And for that person, I think it's a little different because maybe they haven't had as many experiences to enjoy as many partners as maybe somebody who gets married later on in life with somebody that they meet outside of those circumstances. So, yeah, it's probably like a small percentage of people that actually like marry or get together with that person that they have amazing sex with, you know, like right off the bat. But for me, it hasn't happened for me, because if that was the case, I probably would have been married already. Not probably, I would have definitely been married already if that was the case. I would have been in some type of long-term situation. But, okay, I appreciate them comments. Those were good. So my other question would be like, what do you think? Now, let's say you're in a situation, you're in a partnership with somebody, a long-term situation. What kind of things do you think that person could do to, do you even think it's possible? Let's say, because there are people out there who get with people for reasons outside of sex. And let's say the reasons are the person makes them feel comfortable. They communicate well. The person is a great father or mother or whatever the case may be. But sex is really not all that. So is it possible, in your opinion, to improve on that to where that person does become, a very, I'm not going to say your best, but, you know what I'm saying, like a very satisfying lover? Or at least, you know what I'm saying, somebody that can satisfy you at the end of the day. I think so. I believe that that's possible. Obviously, as a sexologist, I believe that sex can be improved upon. That's one of the, I'm not going to say one of the easier things to improve upon in a relationship, but out of communication and trust and intimacy, sex might be one of the easier things because it's mostly anatomy and physiology, and also just kind of how the relationship is between you and that other person. So I do think you could definitely improve on the sexual part if that's something that's not great with the partner that you're with. So don't let that be a reason. There's levels, of course, you know what I'm saying? But don't let that be a reason if your partner or a person that you love or somebody that you're really into is not the best sexual partner you've ever had, because that can be improved. Like that can get better, especially if the person is somebody who's willing to learn and somebody who's willing to improve on that over time. So don't discount a relationship completely if sex is the only part that's not really up to what you've been used to. And so what's a way that maybe you could introduce, like, or what's a way that you could basically improve upon that relationship or that part of the relationship, the sexual part of the relationship? One of the ways is introducing new ideas and products to the relationship in the sexual aspect. So, you know, we've had an episode where we talked about sex toys. Toys can be an option. New ideas, meaning having, you know, talks about what new things you can try within the bedroom to kind of like spice things up and make things a little bit more exciting, a little bit more enjoyable. There are many things you can do and bring into the fold that can really open things up and help you both explore. I say both, but it could be both or more. Explore a better and more fun sexual relationship. So you got that. You can get to know what kind of touch each other likes. So this is something that gets overlooked a lot, because when it comes to sex, a lot of times people just think about sexual touch, not just intimate touch. Intimate touch is more of touching in a way that, you know, kind of creates a more of a bond, and it can still feel good and feel pleasurable, but it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual in nature, and it doesn't have to be touching the erogenous zones necessarily. You know, it can be touching the shoulder or, you know, grazing the arm or whatever like that. And that's really important as well, because before you get into, you know, the act of intercourse, if that's the ultimate goal or the intention, you definitely want to warm up, you know, the bodies and just kind of get each other going, especially for women as well. You definitely want to get them warmed up warmed up enough before you decide to, you know, move any further, because things go a lot more smoothly. I can't speak tonight. I don't know what's going on with me. It's probably because this is like around my normal bedtime. I'm on the East Coast still. And so my normal bedtime is around 10:30 on the West Coast. So anyway, what was I just saying? So I was saying that the touching, get to know what kind of touch works for each other, and, you know, get more familiar with things like foreplay, the play before you get into whatever it is that you like to do as what you may call the main event. Get more comfortable with that and get better with that. Find out what each other likes in those areas. Also, having open conversations about turn-ons and even possibly turn-offs. You know, what kind of things get you going? What type of things are arousing to you? And maybe what type of things aren't such a turn-on? Like, you know, maybe if your partner comes home, you know, at 3 a.m., drunk as hell, breath smelling like Hennessy and beer, that might be a turn-off for you. Maybe you don't want to smell that on your partner's breath. You know what I'm saying? In order for you to get in the mood. And that might be important if during those moments he or she would like to be intimate and you're not able to necessarily get into the mood. So that's something I might want to talk about. So that person doesn't feel too rejected or feel like it's something wrong with them necessarily. So it's good to talk about turn-ons and turn-offs so both of you know and have an idea of what it is you both may be able to do differently in order to get each other more in the mood. Because a lot of sex, not only is it anatomy and physiology, but a lot of it too is what you do before you actually engage in any kind of physical activity. So it's the things that are being said to one another beforehand. It's the way each other feels beforehand. You know, I've talked about this in the past as well. If you and your partner are in a rough space in a relationship, let's say you just came off of an intense argument, you know, a day or two before, and it's unresolved, you're probably not going to have, you know, the same sexual energy. I say probably. You're not going to have the same sexual energy as you would as if you both were in a good place in the relationship, if you were in a positive space in the relationship. So where you are in the relationship also matters, and how you both feel at the moment matters as well. Knowing turn-ons and turn-offs matter, because even before you get physical, if your partner's turning you on by doing certain things, then now you're already jump-starting the process before you even get started. And I would say about 60% of sex is what's done before any kind of physical touch ever happens. You know, so like I said, what's being said, what's being done, the mood and the vibe of the relationship, all of those things matter, you know, before you actually engage in any kind of physical activity. And it helps, it actually allows you to be a lot more connected when the physical activity happens, and also it allows you to be just in an all-around better space. And trust me, it's going to be more satisfying when both of you are getting things going beforehand. So yeah, that's kind of my spiel on that. That's what I have to contribute on that. Let me know if anybody out there has any opinions or ideas about what we're talking about and what was just said. Looking through the questions. All right. is so weird doing. Getting on at 9 p.m. is strange, man. That's how I know I'm an old man right now, because your boy be getting ready for bed around this time. Normally. But I'm glad to be with y'all, though, having this conversation. It's a good one. All right. So I got another question as well, right? And this kind of is a different turn, but I just kind of want to hear other people's opinions as well and just kind of give my thoughts on it also. What kind of attributes do you look for in the parent of your child or the potential parent of your child? Let's say you're somebody like me who's got no kids, but you know, you'd still like to have some. I got a couple more years, I feel like, before I'm just like, all right, I think I'm good. But what kind of things, what kind of attributes do you look for in a person that's going to be the potential parent of your child? This question also comes too, because I think I said it last week that, I got a close friend of mine who's having a baby soon. So his first, so it kind of made me think, like, you know what I'm saying? What are some of the attributes that I see or I look for in a potential mother of my child? And I'll share mine. If y'all want to share yours, you can, obviously. Honestly, it's a lot of the same things that I look for in a long-term partnership with somebody, like the same attributes that I look for in a long-term partner, which are how that person resolves conflict, how that person communicates, that person's basic ideals of other people, and also how that person treats other people is important as well. And those are kind of like the four basic things right there. But I look at those because there's also another piece in there, which is how that person feels, like kind of like that person's values around what's important for the child to understand and know. And I know that's kind of broad, that's really broad, but there's kind of like certain points that when you're having a conversation with somebody, you could kind of get a feel for what that person's values are. And then also, you know, when you talk further and you ask certain questions, you can ask, you know, what are some of those values that you want to impart onto your child? Or, you know, what are some of those things that maybe you grew up on that you don't feel are necessary to pass on, because maybe they just weren't relevant as much as your parents maybe thought they were. So that's important as well. But pretty much, yeah, like I said, the same things that I look for in a long-term partner are the very similar to what I look for in a mother of my children. Is like, those things are really important. And those are things that I feel like, you know, sometimes people overlook or maybe don't realize are important until, you know, a child's already in the picture. And they could still probably work it out. I'm not saying that, you know, those are tried and true, because obviously I don't have the experience to back it up. However, I do feel strongly about the fact that it's nice to know, to some degree, certain things about a person and what they plan to maybe pass on with you to your child. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd like to know if the person thought a certain way about certain things. Not to say that that's something that we can't, you know, talk about or get through, but if the person's like all the way far to one extreme from where I'm at, then it might be a different story. But if there's some way we can meet in the middle, then that's a different, you know, then we could talk about something. But yeah, those are things that people hopefully are looking at when they look at potential partners, and also before they, you know, go raw and risk it all. You know, just some thinking for you, some food for thought. Any questions, any comments? Anybody in the chat want to say anything? want to add anything, want to give a shout out, what y'all got? I'm not drinking anything tonight, by the way. I know I usually ask, you know, what's everybody sipping on, but tonight, if I would have sipped on anything, I would have been sleepy as hell. I don't know what it is about, you know, alcohol, but it typically makes me tired versus, you know, turned up. So I usually drink when I know I'm well rested and I sip slow, typically. Unless I'm around people that are bad influences, y'all know who y'all are, and then I feel like I gotta compete, and I can't be outdone, so I gotta keep up. But all right, y'all, that was episode number 42. This was a short one, but that's all right. We'll be back next week. I'm gonna continue trying out this platform and seeing how it works. And I'm also going to be trying out different days as well. I like Wednesday, but I also want to test out a weekend day and see how that works out, either Saturday or Sunday. So I'm kind of curious to see what kind of vibe that'll be like on a Saturday night or a Sunday night. So, all right, I'm going to hit y'all up later. Thank you again for watching and joining on episode number 42 of the Sex Mechanic Podcast. Thank you to all the people that are watching on IG later on. Thank you for the people that are watching on YouTube. Thank you for all the people that are listening on whatever platform you listen to your podcast on. And yeah, this was another episode. I appreciate y'all. I'll talk to you next week. Peace. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention something. DM me with maybe different topics that you'd like to hear about or talk about, or you'd like to even join in on a conversation on, and we can get on that. You know, anything concerning sex, relationships, situationships, and dating is kind of what we cover on this podcast. So definitely hit me up with those, and I'd love to have you all in the conversation as well. All right, talk to you all later. Peace.